Hari Om, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I hope we have an interesting show in store for you this evening, jam-packed with information as usual. And we will be centering around some topics concerning core issues about ET Yoga and core beliefs and how it relates to some very practical issues that are maladies in society today with respect to certain diseases, information that will help your loved ones, I'm sure. But before we get into all of that, I would like to ask the guys in the booth to begin the program with the Hari Om mantra meditation, a nice short clip of Sri Swami Satchidananda.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om.
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari 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 Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Hari Om
Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Hari
Yes, Sri Swami Satchidananda leading the Hari Om Japa meditation. Swami Satchidananda, the founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes. And I'm certainly going to need to use my disclaimer this evening because I'm going to be giving some opinions about certain medical conditions. And I'd like to state that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. I should also note that I am not a doctor, a medical doctor, but I do have a good nose for the truth. And in this day and age, I think that's the main requirement to deal with lots of information that comes along your way. And the ability to have a good nose for the truth can help you in many, many life circumstances. And especially when it comes to self-empowering issues. I believe that although education can be a benefit to all the formal types of of information that are learned in universities, etc., still many of us tend to rely too much on others for our well-being, especially in the healthcare industry. Tonight's program was kind of inspired by Barbara Marciniak. And for those not familiar with Barbara Marciniak, she's the author of Bringers of the Dawn. And Bringers of the Dawn, in my opinion, is sort of the classic extraterrestrial text. Really covers a lot of material. And I've noticed recently that it is available in its entirety on YouTube. And in addition to that, two other really amazing YouTube presentations. Also from Barbara Marciniak, and that's Earth, Pleiadian Keys to the Living Library, and Pleiadian Prophecy, The Great Changeover, and that's from 2013 to 2027. So if you haven't a pen or pencil handy, but you can just remember Pleiadian, if you go on YouTube, look under Pleiadian, you'll find these listed under Barbara Marciniak. And she makes a really important point, I believe, when she mentions the fact that it's harder and harder to get born in a healthy body these days, and it's even harder to leave with your brain intact. And, of course, we're referring to a lot of the infant problems with autism, many neurological disorders, ADHD, etc., and in leaving with the elderly population having Alzheimer's. And we're going to be talking about these issues this evening with an ET Yoga spin on them. And certainly I'd like to begin by talking about and making a connection between beliefs and magic. Because, in my opinion, magic is the ability to conjure something into form, and beliefs do the same. And mass beliefs create mass conjurings. So beliefs are essentially agreements about reality, and both personal and collectively. Beliefs form the structure and the parameters of your life experiences in any area. And the Pleiadians have said, and I'll quote, that understanding the power of beliefs and the power of the mind, both individually and in mass, is the most pressing and crucial issue for mankind to grasp. The overall world structure is a framework of agreements that you operate within. It's not the only version of the world. Nature is flexible and alive with multidimensional possibilities, and your beliefs, decisions, and emotions play the decisive role in creating the version of the world reality you actually encounter. And, of course, this is so consistent with the Bashar information that your beliefs, your thoughts, and your emotions determine your outer reality. And when I speak to people about this concept, almost everyone gets it immediately. I think we all have an innate nose for the truth in this regard. And certainly our modern physicists like Greg Braden are supporting this information as well. And the more time goes on, I find that science is bridging the gap between spiritual information and the current beliefs. Now, modern science has finally come to realize that at least 90% of the brain that we supposedly never use actually corresponds to the role of 90% of the DNA that was once called junk DNA, but is now understood as a communications interface between our physical brain and the universe at large. And as Rupert Sheldrake points out in his theory of morphogenetic field resonance, the 100th monkey effect occurs when enough people drawn together by a shared purpose create a quantum field of self-fulfilling potential. And when that happens, the rest of the world, in varying degrees, will experience an internal shift in fifth to tenth dimensional consciousness. And I may also point out there is also a correspondence between our 12 strands of DNA and the chakras, 7 inside the body and 5 outside the body. And if you're not familiar with the 5 chakras outside the body, again, in Bringers of the Dawn, they do go into some of this material. And I would also suggest that if you're a regular visitor of ET Yoga, you're aware of how by placing a positive spin on outer circumstances, you can create a positive experience. And just my personal opinion, but this is closely aligned to the idea of shifting to another version of reality, as there is no objective reality. Reality is the experience. And for amazing descriptions of exactly how shifting works, I certainly recommend our listeners check out Bashar. And if you've never had the opportunity to check out Bashar information, you can go to www.bashar.org. And he has some very, very interesting information there and takes on dealing with shifting to parallel realities. And as many of our scientists are beginning to realize that everything exists all at once, all now, and in a sense all here, but you create the illusion of separation by creating differences in vibrational frequency. And as each and every one of you goes to your home this day of your time, after these interactions, many of you may sit down to your couches, you may pick up one of your remotes, you might turn on the television set, and your television technology is the perfect analogy of what we're talking about. The idea is that you know that at any given moment there are any number of dozens of television programs that are available to you at that moment, all coexisting simultaneously, but that you will only get the program that you tune your channel to. And this is exactly how physical reality is holographically structured. Whatever vibrational realm you exist on, whatever state of vibrational being you choose to be, is the reality you get. And what you put out is what you get back. And that's also can be equated to the idea of how your beliefs are reflected in your outer reality. And the fact that you are a frequency match for anything you experience in this physical reality. It's basically simple physics, and for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And it's all about creating the appropriate state that you prefer in your own being and allowing reality, in a sense, to reflect back to you the shift you have made in yourself. But you must understand that the opposite is also true. You cannot perceive what you are not the vibration of. If you tune your television set, to use this analogy further, to what you call your channel 2, you will not receive the program on channel 4. You have to tune your set to channel 4 to get that program. And likewise, based on the reality you say you prefer, if you do not allow yourself in your definitions and in your emotions and in your thoughts and actions and behaviors in life to exemplify the vibratory reality that you say you prefer to live in, then you will not be actually capable of perceiving any opportunities that could actually allow you to synchronistically get yourself to or shift yourself to that reality. Because remember, what you are not the vibration of remains invisible to you. And I'd like to quote from Bashar here, because as he says, many times individuals wonder, why can't I do this, or why can't I get there, or why doesn't this happen? It may simply be an issue of that they are on a frequency operating in a frequency domain that creates certain opportunities to remain invisible to them, unknowable to them, or unimaginable to them, and will never even conceive of some of these ideas, nor recognize them, even if they were right in front of their face, because they are not operating on that level. Two, you have to be in the state to see the opportunities and the doorways that actually lead to that reality. And this, again, is simple physics. It's a very, very simple concept, a very fundamental concept, but we understand that many people on your planet, and this is Bashar talking, that he says that everybody seems to have a lot of difficulty in relating to this idea and creating the kind of changes within themselves they say they want to make. This all simply comes down to the notion of definitions, how you define your reality. Belief systems, basically, is what we're talking about. And, of course, in the Bashar information, he makes it very clear that external circumstances do not come with built-in meaning. It's certainly something that our society has not become conscious of. We think that events happen and there's a natural meaning given, and that everybody has the same take on every outer circumstance, but it's just not so. We define our outer circumstance and create an emotional reaction from it, which then determines the life experience that we get from that set of circumstances. And because you do not have and you cannot have an actual experiential reality except as is based upon the strongest thing you believe it can be, the strongest way you define your relationship to it and to yourself. All experiences in life are based upon your physical reality in your dimension. All experiences are based on the strongest definition you have bought into about that reality. And there have been many, many discussions about the kinds of realities that your probable futures may hold. And Bashar says that this has been said that they are probable futures. Nothing is set in stone and nothing is chiseled in steel. You have the wherewithal to understand that these are simply a function of probabilities. There is no, quote, the future. There are many, many, many possible futures. The ideas, as we have just explained, whatever vibratory realm you exist in, whatever state of being you decide is true for you, will be, generally speaking, the future, so to speak, you will experience. And even if there are other people who think completely oppositely, who believe completely opposite of you, they will have their reality experience as well. The idea here, again, is that you don't have to change your world. You simply need to shift to a world that is already representative of the change you wish to experience, and allow those that wish to remain in the vibrational world that they have been in to remain there, because that earth will exist and does exist as well. All these parallel realities exist right now at the same time, just like the television program. So to further stretch the analogy, what this all comes down to by using the analogy of your TV program is to understand that it all comes down to transformational vibrational TV. That's what you're dealing with, transformational vibration TV. You decide what TV show you're going to experience, but you have to tune to that channel or you'll not be capable of seeing that TV show that you say you desire to see. And that's information coming from Bashar. I should also point out that Bashar has given further clues to the success of manifesting by stating that the mechanism of manifestation is not just about intention, focus, and concentration, but also in letting go. The idea, he suggests, is to spend 15 minutes and no more in the process of intention, focus, concentration, and the buildup of emotion with regard to your desired outcomes, and then let go to the higher self. Let the higher self do the job. The higher self knows the how. And then move on to the next most exciting thing you can do. This is also consistent with the information from Pleiadian sources, especially Barbara Marciniak. And I'd like to now get into some specifics of some current ailments that are plaguing humanity. And one of those is schizophrenia. And I guess we're all a bit schizophrenic at times. And I love the advice that Bashar gives actually to a woman at one of his presentations who's in the audience. And she's asking his preferred method about dealing with schizophrenia. Now, the idea of using sound, smell, and visual clues to align the personality construct, to my way of thinking, is spot on. In its most simplest definition, schizophrenia means fragmented or a fragmented mind. And I'm now going to share with you the transcript from, it's very short, but it's from the woman in the audience asking Bashar questions. And it starts off with Bashar, good day. And the woman says that my family, or I should say my son and I in particular, have co-created a situation where he is classified as schizophrenic. Bashar says, oh, all right, me too. Wait, so am I. Don't forget me. And he says, what did I just do? Lighten up. In short, this is the idea. Well, the woman says, well, I've gotten a lot of answers as a result of being here this weekend, but what else can I do? Bashar says, the idea fundamentally of what your people refer to as schizophrenia is simply the recognition that you are all embedded with multiple personalities. The idea is simply that when you haven't been taught how to allow them to communicate as a coherent whole, sometimes you have them split off, or an offshoot of splitting phenomenology within the same some of those ideas, or between some of those personality structures. And because you're holographic, and because you contain all sorts of different perspectives and personalities, the idea is to explore the notion of how to allow them to function coherently. And but many of you will choose themes of allowing there to be a splitting or a separation between them so that you can learn how to bring them back together or experience each of those personality fragments on its own level, in its own right, in its own autonomous way, to appreciate them from another perspective. And this teaches many other people many things about how the mind works and how the consciousness works, the understand. So in that sense, it is a great service. And the woman says, well, I have learned immensely from it, but I would love to see him, meaning her son, smile again. And Bashar says, well, all right, do this and see what happens. Is he willing to, for a small period of time, to simply focus on you? And the woman says, well, probably not. And Bashar says, well, what is the briefest period of time you think he can sustain simply looking at you? And the woman says, well, do you mean eye contact? And Bashar says, well, it doesn't have to be eye contact, but just looking in your general direction. The woman says, oh, about 5 seconds. And Bashar says, will he follow your hand with his eyes? And the woman says, probably. So Bashar says, well, all right, do this when you catch his attention. Do what you call the infinity symbol with your hand. This can have the effect of balancing the hemispheres of the brain in such a way as to allow for momentary cohesion to take place between the split personality structures. Does he have a favorite music? And the woman says, well, sometimes heavy type of music. Well, Bashar says, well, if you do this with a soothing piece of music and do this just randomly now and then throughout the day and here and there, and the more and more you do this, you may eventually allow him to become cohesive enough so that you will actually see what you will call an improvement of cohesion between the personality fragments. Experiment with that and see what happens. Also, how many times have you asked for assistance with this item from your spirit guides in your dream state? The woman says, well, I haven't asked. No. Well, Bashar says, well, all right, you'll have help from your guides with this, and his guides as well. And he goes, one moment, does he have a favorite smell? The woman says, not that I'm aware of. So Bashar says, experiment and find out what flower he's most attracted to with respect to the scent. And it may be something purple. Do you understand? Have the scent there as well while you're doing this. Engage all the senses in and not only allow them all to become coherently focused in a way over a bit at a time, and it may entrain the personality fragments to start working together and to start looking at the same thing at the same time. And as they do, they will develop communication links and bonds between them that will allow them to become active and more coherent. And he goes, okay, and she says, well, thank you so much. So there's Bashar's advice concerning some practical techniques that you can use if you are in a situation where someone in your life has schizophrenia. And on a practical level concerning this condition as well, I've heard many good things about orthomolecular treatment for schizophrenia, and that's orthomolecular treatment. And it was originally discovered by a Dr. Abram Hoffer. And the treatment strategy uses megadoses of vitamin B3 and C in conjunction with correct nutrition and yields a 90% recovery rate for acute patients and up to 50% in chronic patients. And orthomolecular psychiatry emphasizes a system of treatment, not any one drug or chemical. The schizophrenic is given optimal amounts of materials that are necessary for good nutrition and optimal functioning, like vitamins, minerals, fats, carbohydrates, and amino acids. The orthomolecular program requires full patient participation in changing lifestyle and discontinuing faulty eating habits, and thus sound principles of good nutrition are inherent in the program, and they include adhering to a diet that provides high nutritional value for the individual and avoiding foods to which one is allergic. And in many cases, megadoses of the essential factors are required, and patients are eventually maintained in a normal state by nutritional therapy alone. And such patients do relapse, but much less frequently than those maintained on drugs alone. And the propositions basic to orthomolecular psychiatry are as follows. When the brain is biochemically disorganized, so is the mind. There is great inter-individual variation in biochemical needs and metabolic processes. Some nutrients requirements, especially those for vitamins, may vary up to 100-fold between individuals. And I find that to be quite interesting, 100-fold between individuals. And I'm now going to quote from Dr. Hoffer, who says that persons who remain well on average levels of nutrients may develop problems if their diets become deficient or they are unable to absorb the nutrients. Others who need larger amounts will develop a dependency and require supplementation. Deficiency disease can result from lack of or dependency on a particular nutrient. For example, vitamin B3 deficient patients develop pellagra, but those who are deficient because they require larger levels of vitamin B3 are actually vitamin dependent and, in his opinion, constitute a major portion of acute or subacute schizophrenics. Prolonged malnutrition, as occurred in World War II concentration camps in the Far East, will produce dependency. Dependency may develop any time in life, both the biological, food, air, water, etc., and psychosocial environments are important. And abnormal biophysical environment ensures a normal biological environment ensures a normal interaction with the psychosocial environment. And a number of schizophrenic syndromes are caused by different biochemical problems, each requiring a specific treatment. Tranquilizers, like sedatives, are nonspecific. They will allow some control of symptoms for all the schizophrenias, but do not help in determining cause. And obviously, no schizophrenic suffers from a deficiency of any tranquilizer. And the molecular treatment practice in general, or the medical model of orthomolecular psychiatry, is the basis for diagnosis and treatment. And when it comes to nutrition, in nature, food does not exist as the proteins, amino acids, fats, carbohydrates, vitamins, and minerals described by chemists. Food is a complex of living material, and when digested, the basic nutritional components in food are released. The most nutritionally valuable foods are the least processed ones, and unfortunately, 80% of the food consumed today is processed. And what he calls non-foods have been stripped of all essential nutrients to be metabolized. And they must steal accessory nutrients, proteins, fats, vitamins, and minerals from other foods. And that's why such substances containing what he calls empty calories are so injurious to the quality of any diet in which they are added. And such depleted substances are best looked upon as junk and avoided. Therefore, the first rule of nutritional therapy is eat no junk food, and that is to which sugar has been added. And this rule excludes from the diet pastry and chocolate bars, soft drinks, ice cream, processed cereals, and most people will eventually lose the craving for sugar. But adherence to a junk food diet ensures that more nutritionally valuable food like live fresh fruit, vegetables, fish, meat, etc., is eaten, constituting a better diet overall. And his second rule is to avoid foods to which one is allergic, and this includes avoiding foods of which one is inordinately fond of. A craving may be fueled by the allergy or from which one obviously becomes sick. And the third rule is designed to minimize allergic reactions and by eating a wide variety of foods as possible and not to be dependent only on a few. And this Abram Hoffer, the success rate is certainly phenomenal. And I'd like to now touch upon the idea of Alzheimer's. And there's actually an ebook out, and it's called The Virgin Coconut Oil Beats Drugs in Treating Alzheimer's, A Holistic Guide to Geriatric Care. And it's an ebook online called Virgin Coconut Oil Beats Drugs in Treating Alzheimer's. And in this book, it looks at the problems and causes of Alzheimer's as they are related to an epidemic of prescription drugs being marketed to seniors. And we look at the strong evidence for dietary intervention starting with coconut oil. And then this ebook, it brings you the stories of 10 different families who saw Alzheimer's lessened or reversed by adding coconut oil to their diet, which is representative of thousands of others who are experiencing similar results. And it offers guidelines on usage and types of coconut oil to consider, as well as other non-drug tips to holistic geriatric care. And their target audience is the millions of caregivers out there who are caring for our senior population who will find it difficult to get this information from their doctors or medical professionals not trained in these areas. And I know recently I've just become involved with a practice called oil pulling. And basically you take a teaspoon of coconut oil and put it underneath your tongue and leave it sit there for about 20 minutes. And then spit it out, and it's just incredible the amount of toxicity that the coconut oil removes from the body. And it's not surprising to me how this can be very effective with treating Alzheimer's. And my suggestion is that people just, swallow a couple teaspoons every so often and see what kind of results you get. And I'd now like to go on to mention a topic that's kind of dear to my heart with respect to all these young kids now that are being born with, not just born with autism, but even developing autism in their early years. And I'd like to refer everyone in our audience to check out on YouTube the Robert Kennedy Jr. on vaccines and autism cover-up. And he's also got one called A Green Road, and that's Robert Kennedy Jr. on vaccines, autism links, and studies. And in my experience, I've become aware of certain mothers' groups who had autistic kids, and they started taking bentonite clay, and they started, of course, you take it internally, mixing some of the clay up with water, and drinking it, but also to take warm baths in bentonite clay, ideally with a water filter to filter out the toxicity from tap water, which contains the fluoride, which is basically toxic waste. And I'm not surprised, again, that a lot of people have found a lot of success using this technique, because bentonite clay basically sucks the metals out of the system, and it's the inability of the brain to process and function properly if it's there's too many metals in the system. And I actually think it's kind of an outrage what's happening in our society right now with respect to the connection between the vaccines and the incidence of autism. And this is now it's a proven fact. Like, people are winning court cases in England and in Italy because there's a proven link between autism and vaccines, and they're actually winning large sums of money. And it's not happening anymore in the United States because there was a law passed and to prevent people from suing the pharmaceutical companies. And then, of course, when people take their shots, most of the time they're signing a waiver. And there was certainly, among the high content of metals in these vaccines, there's also this agent, thimerosal. And Russia banned thimerosal from children's vaccines back in the 1980s. Denmark, Austria, Japan, Great Britain, and all the Scandinavian countries have also banned this preservative. And one study that was done in 1999 revealed that some infants, due to genetic or developmental factors, lack the ability to eliminate mercury. And some vaccines, such as for hepatitis B, contained as much as 12.5 micrograms of mercury per dose, and that's more than 100 times the EPA's upper limit standard when administered to infants. And the National Vaccine Information Center in Vienna, Virginia, has noted a strong association between the MMR vaccine and autistic features, and that's measles, mumps, rubella. And the encephalitis support group in England claims that children who became autistic after the MMR vaccine started showing autistic symptoms as early as 30 days after their vaccinations. And the diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus vaccine, DPT, given at 2, 4, and 5 months, has also triggered autistic symptoms as well. And there's an investigative journalist, Jack Mullen. He's written a story called West Virginia Forcing Children to Become Autistic by Law. And That's because apparently in West Virginia there is no waiver for vaccines. In fact, most people in most states aren't aware that there are waivers, and you need to really do your research here, because in my opinion, you know, when children come into this world, you're the initial caregiver. You know, you don't own the children. You're the caretaker. You're the one that's supposed to be providing protection for these young souls coming into this planet. And as Bashar would say, the new generation, they're not just a new generation. They're a new species with a highly developed DNA. And I know that in the old times it used to be, you know, the idea of a good mother was to, you know, make sure that, you know, you went to the doctor and had your shots and all this kind of thing. But you gotta take into consideration, you know, the facts that are happening here, that basically what we're doing is playing Russian roulette with autism with our kids. And nobody seems to be doing anything about it. And it's a very, very serious problem. In my opinion, if you take a look at some of the research, like, for example, the Amish, who like 100,000 Amish kids, they can't hardly find a case of autism. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that there are issues here. And now there's laws passed so that you can't sue the pharmaceutical or the drug companies for making the vaccines. The doctors make you sign a waiver, so nobody's responsible. But in point of fact, what autism rates, I've heard varying numbers, but I think it was started off as 1 in 25,000. It's now down to like 1 in 15. And Dr. William Thompson, who's a senior scientist with the Centers for Disease Control, he publicly admitted in August of 2014 that the CDC covered up data linking the MMR vaccine to autism in 1998, and since then nothing's been done. Children are still lining up to play Russian roulette with shots of autism. And also, according to Dr. Merkula, during the past 30 years, the number of vaccines our children receive has tripled. And during that same time period, the number of children with learning disabilities, ADHD, asthma, diabetes, has also more than tripled. And according to Merkula, more than twice as many children have chronic brain and immune system dysfunction today than they did in the 1970s, when half as many vaccines were given to children. And the pediatric and adolescent vaccine market, I think it's this year, is going to, or by 2016, is going to be up to like $16 billion. So, you know, a lot of people are certainly making their money on all this. But if you go to the Robert Kennedy Jr. Videos on the vaccine autism cover-up, you'll see that this has been a known fact for a long time, and that people in England and in Italy are actually winning court cases because of the proven link between vaccines and autism. And I suggest everybody really do their homework as a responsible parent looking after these young souls, that we just don't turn our power over to established medical, which unfortunately in many cases has only profit as its chief motivation. And moving on to another interesting guy, Jim Humble, who's come up with this miracle mineral supplement. I know it's really dissed in the mainstream media, but I've talked to lots of people that have had success with it. There's some interviews with Jim at Project Camelot. This MMS has been known to cure malaria in as little as 4 hours. And I want to talk about the diabetes issue at the moment. The protocol with MMS 1000 is 3 drops activated every hour for 8 hours for 3 weeks. And diabetes is a problem, he says, with the pancreas. And why? Because this one is not producing enough insulin for the body to function well. And what happens is when the pancreas is not producing enough insulin and the doctor tells you your pancreas is working on 80% or 50% or 30% of the remaining insulin is what you need to take so your body works better. And when you take MMS, what it does is that it kills the virus that is causing the pancreas to not produce enough insulin. And once the MMS kills the virus that is causing this, the pancreas starts working normally again and begins to produce insulin on its own. And once MMS cures diabetes, and then we return to mistreat our body, not taking care of our diet and lifestyle, then we'll get the disease again. And to prevent diabetes to return, we have to make changes in our eating style and lifestyle. And if diabetes returns, it is not because the MMS didn't work. It's because we're not taking care of our diet and lifestyle. So here again, we come back to diet and lifestyle. And I specifically have had direct experience with this diabetes issue. A friend of mine in Europe, his father had been diabetic for a long time, got himself some MMS, started taking 3 drops a day, and in about 3 weeks, he was sending his kid to the store for ice cream. His doctor couldn't believe he didn't have diabetes anymore. So what I know from a personal fact is that, yeah, that can work. And I'd also like to mention that at the current time, there are 8 European countries now that have banned the cultivation of GMO crops within their borders, and that's Poland, Austria, France, Germany, Hungary, Luxembourg, Greece, and Bulgaria. And I'd like to give some information about GMO foods. That according to the United States Department of Agriculture, as of 2010, at least 80% of corn and approximately 90% of soybeans grown in the United States are grown from genetically modified seeds. And opponents say any claims or commercial benefits of GMO foods they say that any benefits, they're basically unproven. And if you look at the safety studies and the potential dangers of human health, that it's just off the charts. The rise in autism, immune disorders, infertility, gastrointestinal problems, chronic diseases may be associated with the introduction of GMO foods. And in a position paper by the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, the authors ask all physicians to consider the role of GM foods in the nation's health crisis and advise their patients to avoid all GMO foods whenever possible. And the Academy also recommends a moratorium on GMO seeds and calls for an immediate, independent safety testing and labeling of all food items containing genetically modified products. And actually, Monsanto, who was one of the chief producers of GMO food, said in June that they're giving up on most of Europe because the people there don't want GMO food. And the evidence gathered over the first 10 years is staggering. GMO food and herbicides sprayed on them constitute a major health hazard, to say the least. And there are now 26 countries that have banned GMOs. So I wanted to touch upon some of these more common maladies taking place in our society. Idea here that I think the thread that runs through all of them is the importance of nutritional food, especially avoiding sugar. Sugar also, as we know, is a perfect environment for the growth of cancer. And it all, I think, kind of all goes back to the basics of good health that were taught to us by good old Bashar. And the basics of good health start with water, and that means pure water. It doesn't mean fluoridated water. Second, oxygen. And if we're talking about oxygen, obviously the more we can get out into nature, where there's some clean air, the better. Barring that, certainly yogic pranayams are a great idea. And by the way, at my website at www.etyoga.com, I do teach the pranayams on the product there available called Techniques. As well, on his list of basic guides to good health, certainly stress is a huge factor in our health. And I know it's a tough one, but the more that people can eliminate the stress in their lives, the more healthy they're going to be. Certainly, exercise. The more you see people that are even that walk every day, but gaining exercise and getting the body functioning, huge benefit. Not enough people, I think, are really breaking a sweat at least three times a week. Exercise is something that a lot of people just keep putting off, but once they get to do it, they really like it. And certainly a huge benefit to overall health. Certainly, lightening up the diet is a major factor. And by that, Bashar really means is you're getting off of a food chain that's meat-oriented, gradually getting off meats into a good vegetarian diet and ultimately into a vegan diet. That's the process to take. And his last suggestion is detoxification. Now, it used to be, I know when I grew up, it wasn't really necessary to detox. But I look at detoxing now kind of like I look at changing the oil in the car, so that it's one of those things that's just one of those maintenance things that you do. And when I kind of did a rough survey of people that I know and just looked at these basics of good health and how many of them people do, I found that people did some of them, but that most people don't do all of them. And this is the foundation. This is the foundational structure of a healthy system. Good water, good oxygen, minimizing stress, getting regular exercise, lightening up the diet, and detoxification. And both Bashar and Dr. Schultz at the American Botanical Pharmacy in California both concur that with thorough detoxification, about 85% of all physical symptoms disappear. Well, if you want to have a health plan, there's a good one. How about put the whole country on a mandatory detox? And I mean, we're talking about mandatory vaccines. Why don't we do something that eliminates 75% of the physical symptoms? Of course, unfortunately, the way the system's set up now, that's just like eliminating 85% of their business, because that's what it's become. It's become a business about profit. And although I take my hat off to those people in the medical field, especially those involved with emergency situations, the fact is that we're being abused from all different levels with respect to health and health treatment. Pills, in my opinion, this is in 10 or 15 years, pharmaceutical companies, I think, are going to be a thing of the past. People are going to wise up to the fact that pills are harmful. They're not helpful. They mask symptoms. They're not about proper health. And this whole idea about other people protecting you with the vaccines and things, the truth is there's only one thing you need protection from, and that's your own beliefs. And if you're going to have a victimhood mentality, I guarantee you, you'll create victimhood no matter what else is going on or what shots you're taking or what you think somebody else is protecting you from. Because if you take a look at your life and you shine a light on your life, the areas where you've given away all your power are areas where you'll find you're being abused. And I personally am into taking back as much power as totally humanly possible. I believe that a spiritual journey brings you along a highway that you start to become more and more self-sufficient, you become more and more self-empowered, and you also, at that point, you learn more and more about how things work, and because you learn how things work, it spills over into these whole ideas about health and health issues. And I don't buy into this philosophy that, because somebody took some courses at a college and got a degree in something and regurgitated information given to them at a higher level, that this makes them any more intelligent or any more necessarily more knowledgeable about certain issues, especially ones like autism in children. And I would really like to suggest out there that those spiritual people that you're involved with kids, do your research about vaccines and the connection to that and autism, and we really need to do a better job of standing up for the truth, because, I mean, are we the dummies in the world here that everybody else is wising up and learning not to put thimerosal in the shots? And by the way, somebody said, oh, they've taken them out. Well, I just looked at the flu shots for last year, and they're still there. And thimerosal is still listed as an ingredient. So, you know, this is a serious, serious situation with respect to our young kids and young spirits coming into the world. We've got to do a better job of protecting these young kids and not let a bunch of pharmaceuticals and medical people and make billions of dollars by purposely, in some ways, at the higher levels, purposely allowing this disgrace of autism and the connection with vaccines to continue. And I'd like to mention that, as usual on ET Yoga, I'd like to wish all my listeners their best in their pursuit of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I'd like to close by having the guys in the booth play the Bashar XYZ extraterrestrial meditation.
I'd like to share with you the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. First, you need to get really relaxed, either lying down or sitting comfortably or even standing up, whatever is the most comfortable for you. I then suggest taking a couple of deep breaths and imagine yourself in your perfect place of peace. You haven't a worry in the world and are just relaxing in your perfect place of peace. Then imagine the following. Around the area of your heart or solar plexus, just behind that area, is a bright ball of white light. It is a packet of energy that is your essence. This star that you feel inside yourself, this ball of light, now grows and grows and grows in intensity and gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it bursts forth as a beam of light, a laser-like beam bursting out of the front of you and stretches as far as you can imagine infinity to be. Stretching, stretching out as a beam of light beyond the solar system, beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond, going faster and faster and faster all the way to infinity. But it is also elastic, so as it reaches infinity, it slows down and will stop and turn around, and as a solid beam, it will creep back towards you from the far reaches of infinity, faster and faster and faster and faster and faster, until it comes crashing through the center of your body and through you and out your back and all the way to infinity out the back, all the way out, further, further, until it reaches infinity, and it returns, but a little faster now. And faster and faster and faster until it too crashes through you, out the front, all the way to infinity. But it returns even faster now, out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front. Back and forth, 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 back and forth. And out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And let yourself get used to this idea. And then when it gets right in the middle of your body, it crashes out the left side all the way to infinity, and back out the right side all the way to infinity, and turns and comes back through the center, out the left side, and back out the right side, and side to side, and side to side, and front and back, 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 until you get used to the idea. And then you have created an X and Y axis. Now another beam goes crashing through your head up all the way to infinity and turns around and comes crashing back through your head and out the bottom and up and down 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 and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side. And it begins to build, 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 until an infinite number of rays fly out simultaneously to infinity and stay there. You are suspended on beams of light, and you are stabilized at infinity. You hang there for eternity at infinity. Then you start to notice little bits of pulses, symbols and signals, like a web that you are in the center of. Bits of information coming and going from every dimension and every space and time that exists. Every doorway and every gateway and forms and ideas and messages and communications like a giant matrix. You feel the ebb and flow of the infinite possibilities from every space and time, from front and back and side to side and up and down, clickety-clack, 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 clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Now send out one large pulse on every line outward and receive one large pulse coming back like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. And now you're starting to sense a larger infinite mass mind behind this heartbeat, this pulse. It's like a gigantic awareness, one soul, one mind. You are suspended in the center of eternity. Boom, 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 boom. Now, with every heartbeat, a new breath, a new awareness, a new perspective, a new experience, a new sensation, a new dimension, a new galaxy, forever, forever, new, new, new. And now all the beams expand until you are surrounded in a sea of light that is becoming more transparent until it is like a bubble, but you can still hear it. Boom, 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 boom. You can feel the seed of all that is, and as the blood flows from your own heart, as the seed of the infinite of all that is, on that pulse you are connected from every direction and any direction simultaneously. And every time you remember your heartbeat, you will feel connected to this heartbeat. Be in your perfect place of peace and feel your heartbeat. Now, take a deep breath and feel refreshed, feel loved, and feel energized.